you ask for the manager and you're like, hey, did anybody return, you know, this money or whatever like that? And they're like, no, we haven't seen anything. The reason why is because of people like Jen. She is that person. No, I'm just kidding, Jen. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I would take the money as well. You know, depending, some different things that play into that. But I went to a church that a long time ago that they used to teach us that, you know what, if you see a penny on the ground and you don't pick it up, then God's not going to bless you with more because you're not being a good steward. Now that's legalistic, okay? So don't. But anyways, that just reminded me of that, just picking up the money. Wow. You guys excited to be in the church, in the house of God today? Amen. I am, because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. So I'm excited because, you know what, I'm ready for Jesus to blow my mind all over again. So if you're not excited, you got to train yourself and stir yourself up, and because God is good all the time. Amen. Before we jump into the Word of God, let me go ahead and let's pray together, and then we can dive into it. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, also for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the church. And God, there is no better teacher than you. You know how to teach and to train and to encourage and to lead and to guide and to direct each and every person in the house, regardless of age or gender, Father God, or upbringing or experience. God, you know how to speak to each and every heart to cause us to be everything that God wants us to be. So we welcome you in this place. We thank you for the work that you are going to do. And God, whatever that is, we will give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor this evening, whoa, that was, and say, wait for it! All right. You guys are waked it. And if you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 2. James chapter 1, verse number 2. And I'll wait just a moment as I hear the pages begin to rest. I guess you couldn't hear very well if you're on a phone, but anyways. All right, James chapter 1, verse number 2, it says this. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Indeed, patience is a virtue. Now, real quick, verse number 2. The Word of God just has this ability, this, if you will, this uncanny knack to locate you and to locate me. Anybody here been reading the Word of God, and as you read, all of a sudden it just speaks to right where you're at, speaks right to your heart. It calls you out, you know, even some things that you were unwilling to admit were there or recognize or even, you know, unbeknownst to you, they were there. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, it's speaking to me. Well, this is one of those verses for me. This has been one of those verses. And you know what? What's so cool about it is oftentimes God's word will bring you great encouragement when it does that. And even if it's a word that maybe would bring some correction, boy, it brings health. And it brings life, and it brings God's goodness. And I'm just so thankful for the Word of God. And so verse number 2 kind of does that to me when I read it. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And you know what? There's been times in my life where it seemed like I was going from one trial to the next trial to another, a time of opposition to another time of opposition and confusion. And it's just like, it just seems like sometimes that, you know, there are difficulties that come our way. And in those moments, you can kind of feel like, well, what's going on? And you, God, where are you at? And you start to question things, and you start to, you know, you start to get a little bit shaky, maybe in your faith. Doubt tries to set in, and all of a sudden you read a verse like this, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, if I've got trouble in my life, it's kind of normal. It's like there's difficulties in life, all right? God hasn't left me. My life's not over. My future's not ruined. This is normal. One of the greatest words somebody ever gave to me, it was my cousin. I remember I was confused about some things, and so I just began to pour out my heart to him, and I started crying. And after I was done, I was waiting for this big, elaborate, you know, explanation, and he just looked at me and said, you're normal. And it brought peace and rest to my heart. And so here's the reality is that all of us, as we go through life, will face difficulties. There will be troubles that arise, persecutions, trials, a testing of your faith, a testing of your patience, a testing of every last part of you. And you know what? It's normal. And so we read on now, and the Bible says this. It says, okay, so instead of being shocked, verse number two still, instead of being shocked or questioning, hey, count it joy. And it begins to tell us why. Verse number three, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As I read verse number four, I hear the word of God saying this to me, that if I allow patience to run its full course in my life, here's what I can expect, that I will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, does that sound good to anybody out there? In the midst of my trial, in the midst of the difficulty, if I could get a hold of this thing called patience, and not just get a hold of it, but let it run its full course in my life, let it fully develop, then at the end of the road, at the end of the story, at the end of the deal, I will find myself perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, you have to understand when you're looking at this, when it says perfect and complete, lacking nothing, maybe a number of different things may come to your mind, but specifically, this is referring to who you are, to the characteristic of patience. So, in other words, I'm not all that I can be unless I let patience run its full course in my life. I'm not all that I should be unless, I feel like there's a big echo here, unless I allow patience to run its full course in my life. Anybody old enough to remember I don't know if they still do this anymore. I haven't seen a commercial like this anymore, but you know, the army comes on, a military commercial, and they make this, you know, they sing the song, you know, be all that you can be in the army. And what was the selling point? That, hey, maybe you're not all that you can be right now. Maybe you're not all that you should be, but if you join the army, we'll help you be all that you can be. All right, I think here's the importance of this, and the understanding that God's trying to bring to us today is that the reality is that no man or woman can climb beyond the limits of their character. Who you are will determine where you end up in life, what you obtain, what level that you attain to. And so God comes along and he wants to work on your heart and mind, and wants to develop us and to bring us these characteristics like patience. If you want to know some more of the characteristics that God wants to develop in your life, just look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But today we're talking about patience. And if I let patience run its full course in my life, I will be perfect. I will be complete, lacking nothing. And you know what? I'll end up where God wants me to end up. I'll obtain the things in life that God has for me. Are you hearing me today? I like how Jesus says this. He comes along and he says, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth, can anybody guess? Evil things. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. Therefore, you will know a tree by its fruit. So make the tree good. What's on the inside must come out. Is this making sense? I hope I haven't lost anybody today. What's on the inside must come out. And so what God is saying, hey, I want you to develop patience on the inside. I want you to have the character of patience, and I want you to let it run its full course. And you know what? You'll find this about yourself, that you're perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You end up where God wants you to end up instead of some other place. Can I get an amen in the house? Let me put it to you like this. Indeed, patience is a virtue. It is, right? You guys have heard that before? Okay, some of your faces are like, okay, patience is a virtue. I want to take you now to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, we're going to look at the life of a man who didn't let patience run its full course in his life. And how many of you out there want to learn from other people's successes? How is this person successful? You like to look into different things. And how many of you also want to learn from people's mistakes? I do. So we're gonna pick on somebody here, and you know what? God's word puts him in here for the reason of giving us an example of someone not to follow. All right, but we're gonna pick on him a little bit. His name is Esau. All right, Esau. And in Genesis chapter 25, we'll begin reading with verse number 29. Let me just kind of give you the backstory a little bit. Isaac is Esau's father. Okay, and Isaac. He married a woman by the name of Rebekah, and she got pregnant, and she had twins, all right? She had Esau, and she had Jacob. And something interesting happened when these twins were born. Esau came out first, so he was the firstborn. And when he came out, the Bible says that he was a hairy baby. He was a hairy baby. So they named him Esau, which means hairy. Now, aren't you glad that we don't name our kids the way that they used to name them? Like, they used to name them like how we name our dogs. You know, like just whatever you think about them or you see them doing, you know, or whatever, you just kind of name them. When I named my children, I looked into the names. What does it mean? You know, how does that sound? What do I think? I put some thought into it as opposed to, oh, this one's Harry. We're going to call him Harry. All right. So Jacob comes out Harry. Esau comes out hairy, and Jacob, let me do this. When Esau came out, Jacob, the Bible says, reached out of the womb and grabbed Esau's heel and wanted to pull him back into the womb, because Jacob somehow had this inner intuition that I want to be the firstborn. I don't want Esau to be the firstborn. I want the birthright. I want the blessing. All right? And so he reaches out, and this scenario, if you will play out throughout the course of their lives. All right? So all of a sudden now, okay, so you got Esau, who's the firstborn, and you've got Jacob. The Bible says that their father, Isaac, loved Esau because Esau was like a man's man. He was the hunter of the family. He would go out into the forest. He would catch the game. He would bring it back, and he loved to eat the meals that his wife cooked from the game that his son brought home. On the other hand, you have Jacob, and the Bible says, that Jacob, he liked to dwell in the tents. He wasn't all that outdoorsy. He was kind of, he didn't want to get his nails dirty, you know. Brother was a mama's boy. Brother was a simple man. He knew how to cook, and he ended up, now I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. Boy, I'm getting myself in trouble, right? But anyway, so the Bible says that his mother loved him. Okay, and so this rivalry is going to take place throughout their lives. And so what happens, and we pick up, and let's go ahead and read the story now in verse number 29, we pick up the story, and it says this. It says, now Jacob cooked a stew. Brother was good at cooking. And Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. So, man, Esau, he's this name stuff is just getting him in trouble. All right, so he gets called Esau because he's hairy, and now because he likes some red stew, they call him Edom, which is literally translated red. Okay, anyways, that was free. All right, but Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Does anybody here know what lentils are? Some bean stew. That's what it was. Nothing special. All right? It says stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a trade I want to make. Just for a moment, let me explain to you the birthright, so you get the picture of what's taking place here. The birthright, it would make that, okay, so the firstborn son of a family in the Hebrew world, all right, got what was called the birthright. And that birthright made him the successor to his father as head of the family or tribe and inheritor of a double portion of his father's estate. He would then become the leader of his family, and they would serve him. He was the head honcho. He became the chief, okay? So if you're a firstborn son, you've got the birthright, all right? You're set up for life, your future. You know, God's also, the Bible says that when your father goes to die, he's going to give you a blessing as well. All right, you become the leader. And so all of a sudden now, Esau is forfeiting this for a piece of bread and some bean stew. So let me make my statement again. I would never want to make that trade. What about you? No, right? Now, some of you are kind of like, well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to be a leader. Maybe. Okay, let me bring it to San Bernardino terms. Would you trade $1 million for some bread and bean stew? No, you wouldn't. That's like $1 million. That's literally what the kind of trade that just took place, the kind of transfer that just took place. And you know what amazes me? He didn't even get a good meal out of it. He got like a McDonald's Happy Meal out of his $1 million trade. Terrible. And you want to know why? Because he didn't have the patience to wait. He forfeited God's blessing, the birthright that God had given him, for some bread and some bean stew. And I wonder how many of us, so oftentimes in life as Christians, we forfeit God's promises and we forfeit God's blessing just simply because we don't have the patience to wait for God to come through on our behalf. And what I want to tell you tonight, and I want to encourage you, is in this, that, you know what, just wait for it. If God's blessing and God's promise is right around the corner, you don't want to forfeit your future. You don't want to forfeit your destiny. You don't want to forfeit what God has for you for some measly fling of the moment thing and find yourself missing out on what God has for you. I wonder how many of us, you know what, I'll be the first one to be honest with you in the house. You know what, I remember when I was single, and I remember wanting to find somebody. I wanted to find my special person, my boo, my soulmate. And I remember feeling the pressure. You know, I remember getting around 25, 26, thinking to myself, oh my God, if this keeps on going like this, I turn 30 before I meet somebody special. I don't know what's going to happen, all right? And so all of a sudden now, all right, we find ourselves in these pressure moments, in these troubling moments with difficulty arising. And all of a sudden now we're willing to compromise because we're unwilling to wait. And so all of a sudden, you know, you go and, ooh, he's fine. He's looking good. I think I want to date him. After all, I'm 28. And I'm 30 now. I'm about to get kicked out of shift. God knows what's going to happen. So let me just date him. And you know you had no business dating the brother because the brother ain't even saved. He's not even saved. And so what you're doing is, you listen, God's got your special person right there on the verge, but because you can't wait, you're willing to, are you hearing me today? And listen, I love how we did this back in the stories. I don't know if you're here for our story series, and we're talking about Ruth and, you know, Boaz, and what did we say? We said, don't settle for one of his crazy cousins. Broke as, cheating as, beating yo as. You get the point. We said, because we're unwilling to wait. And you know what? You need to drop that brother right now like he's hot. Like he's real hot. Because he's so hot, he might take you to hell. Hello. We get frustrated on our jobs and I just want to quit. All the while, God's blessing is right around the corner. You just got to wait for it. And listen, I've worked for The Rock for over 11 years. And trust me, I've had my times where I thought about quitting. Not because The Rock is ungodly, not because The Rock isn't a wonderful place to work, but how, like we said earlier, there are difficult, right, Pastor Luke? Can I get a witness in the house? Oh, a liar! The devil is a liar! No. He's come to me on more than one occasion. I'm going to quit, man. No, I'm just kidding. All right, but we want to quit all the while. God's blessing is right around the corner. You know, you're in school and you're having difficulty at school. I'm gonna change my major. You know God called you to that major, so don't you quit. Wait for it. Gifts and talents and abilities, and because they're underdeveloped at this time and you're not getting the recognition that you think that you ought to get, and well, I'm just never gonna sing again. And we because we're unwilling to wait. I'm here to tell you today again, just wait for it. Wait for it. So here are some points that we can learn from Esau. Number one is this, that don't let weariness talk you out of God's blessing. Wait for it. Weariness. And here's this manly man, and he's a hunter, and the Bible says that he comes back from the field and he's weary. he's been working hard. He's been setting the traps. He's been trying to trick the animals. I imagine, right? I know that sounds funny, but no. I'm sure he might have even put on some face paint to camouflage, climb some trees, climb some hills, had to deal with the elements, right? Hot, cold, the daytime, the heat, and the nighttime cold, and the darkness, and the different things. And you know what? He comes back from the field, and the Bible says that he's weary. He's weary. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but maybe he spent all the time that he did, and he didn't catch anything. And I wonder how many of us, you know what, we get into different things in our lives, and you know what, we're working real hard. We're putting in the extra time. We're putting in the extra effort. We're putting in the extra money. And it doesn't seem like life is producing the way that we want it to or the way that it should. And so we begin to get weary in those moments, and we think to ourselves, man, I don't know how long I can hold out. And what happens in that moment is then we're tempted to go ahead and compromise or give up or take a shortcut or get involved in something that God doesn't want us to get involved in, and we find ourselves forfeiting God's blessing. All right, now listen to me. Let me say this right here since it came to my heart before I forget. If you feel like today that you have forfeited God's blessing in some area of your life, life is not over. You can get back on track with Jesus Christ, and he will get you right back to where you need to be. And amen. All right, so this is not to beat up on anybody, but I'm trying to help you today get this thing called patience, this ability to wait for it. It's always working real hard and doesn't know how much longer he can hold out, and so he comes to a place where he compromises. Today, if you're weary, I want to share with you this verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, and let me just pop it up on the overhead for you quickly. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, this is what the Bible says. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? It says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Well, that's great, Pastor Joe, because that's God. But watch what it says next. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall with all their energy and all their vigor and all their strength. They're on their own. They're going to fall. They're going to faint. They're going to fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And today, if you're in the house and you feel weary in life and you feel weary in your race, in your fight of faith, I'm here to tell you today, all you got to do is wait on the Lord. Maybe at this point we could get a little bit more specific and say, well, what you should be waiting for and waiting on is the Lord. What does that mean, Pastor? That means go ahead and break out your Bible. Go ahead and get to your room and close the door, your closet, your prayer closet. Turn on some worship music and get with God. And when you do, he's the God that strengthens us. He's the God that lifts us up. Psalms 23 says, he revives and restores my soul. He will lead me by, he will lead me by still waters. He will cause you to raise up. And too many times you and I, we go through life and we try to be the source of our own strength. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll wait on the Lord, he will cause your strength and your patience, your strength and your ability to wait to be renewed so that you don't miss out on his blessing. All right, so number one, don't let weariness talk you out of God's blessing. Verse number 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. Point number two today, things we can learn from Esau. Point number two is this: it's never as bad as it seems. Wait for it. It's never as bad as it seems. Wait for it. Let's read verse number 32. It says, and Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is his birthright to me? Now, I don't know if when you read this story, you sense a little bit of a contradiction here, because the Bible says that he came in from the field and he was weary, but then Jacob says, I'm about to die. And to me, those are two different things. Like, you could be weary, but about to die is a whole nother level, right? And so I was kind of like, I think the brother's getting a little dramatic here. I think he's going a little bit overboard with what's going on. And I think if we were honest in the house today, when we face difficulties, I think we think it's, and we make it out to be worse off than what it really is. Right? Now, how do I know this? What leads me to believe this? Let me read to you now verse number 34. It says, "And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate, drank, arose, and went his way." Now, I don't know about you, but if you were about to die because of starvation, you don't eat some bread and some bean stew and up and on your way. Right? You're out of it. You're out of it till your body can recover. You're probably going to sleep all day long, all night long. You're going to need somebody. You've seen the movies like Indiana Jones that are feeding the water to them. And to try to bring somebody back to life. You know what I'm saying? So brother was being dramatic. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not as bad as it seems. It's not as bad. Your life is not as bad off as the devil would like you to believe. In fact, your life is not even as bad off as your flesh would like you to believe. Because the flesh, it can't handle pressure for nothing. It can't handle difficulty for nothing. It likes to, any little thing happening, oh my God, you're going to die. Life is over. Right? Right? We're honest? Okay. I just, thank you for that. Thank you. It's true. I my lease at my apartment ran out. And so I had to move this last Monday and Tuesday. And I hate moving. That's not part of my message. I just hate moving. But anyways, so I moved from Riverside to Grand Terrace. And gosh, where do I go from here? Basically, we were in need of a refrigerator. Okay, I had moved out of my home in Beaumont, and I gave the people who bought my house were interested in my refrigerator. So I said, yeah, where I'm going, I'm not going to need one there. I have one. God bless you. It's yours. So I sold a refrigerator, all right? He was a Christian man. It was really cool. And so I moved into my apartment, had a refrigerator. I moved out of my apartment now, and I'm renting a house in Grand Terrace that does not have a refrigerator. So I was looking for a refrigerator, all right? Make a long story short, maybe not. But I spent one Saturday 9 hours looking for a refrigerator. Not on the internet. No. Driving around Southern California. Now, notice what I just did right there. You'd have thought I would have driven all over Southern California, but I technically only went to San Bernardino, Riverside, and Moreno Valley, all right? But 9 hours. I went to one place. I remember I went to one place, and this guy, he buys these used refrigerators from L.A., and he fixes them up. So I was already kind of like, I don't know about this, all right? He did, in his defense, or not defense, but to his you know, respect or honor or whatever, he did a good job. But some of the refrigerators, in my opinion, were a little overpriced. The ones that I was interested in, too small. And so I went to another place. Another guy, he owned an apartment complex in Riverside, and people, I guess, leave behind their refrigerators, and so he keeps them and sells them, which is kind of shady to me to begin with. But I was like, okay, let me take a look at this. So he opens up his storage, and there's like crickets and water bugs and all kinds of stuff crawling everywhere. I was like, thanks for your time, man. I'll let you know if I don't find anything else. Go to another place, and again, some used refrigerators, And I found one that was a good size, it was a good price, and it wasn't too old. But this gentleman, he had these thermometers in all of the fridges to show that, hey, this refrigerator works good and it'll keep your food cold. Well, this refrigerator, the thermometer was in the red, all right? It's not supposed to be in the red. I was like, are you sure this refrigerator is okay? Well, we've had it open because I've been showing you. You know, so it's going to go down. I was like, all right, well, I'll tell you what, let me go get my truck, and I'll be back for it in about 2 hours or whatever. And as long as that comes up, I'll buy the fridge. He's like, no, I understand. So I go get my truck. I come back, and the thermometer was still in the red. I was like, you know what, man, to be honest with you, you've been real nice, but I can't do it just because I don't want to buy this and a month later need to buy another one. He's like, I understand. So I left there. And so I'm frustrated. So I'm like, that's it. I'm just going to go to Home Depot. And I'm going to buy one. So I walk into the store, and I found this fresh refrigerator. You never seen anything like it in your life. Refrigerator could drive you to work. Fly to the moon. I mean, come on. This refrigerator was bad to the bone, all right? I look at the price tag. It was like $5,000. I don't know about you. I can think of a whole lot of ways to spend $5,000, and it's not on a refrigerator. So I was like, let me go to the cheap section, all right? So I got down to about $1,000, all right? I didn't have $1,000 to drop right then. So me and Marnie, my wife, we're talking about it. We're just kind of like, you know, what are we going to do? Well, we don't really have the money. I mean, they do have a credit offer. And you could get 12 months free of interest. And you know what? I have really good credit. But I've also, in my life, gone into more debt than I should have, if I could be open with all of you. And I've never not been able to pay my bills, but I thought, so my credit's really good, and so I would qualify for that. So we're sitting in the store, and we're looking at this refrigerator, and my wife looks at me, and she goes, so what are we going to do? And in that moment, I heard a voice. Was it the voice of the Lord? No. It was the voice of Pastor Luke. I kid you not, I'm not joking. If you put that on credit, you're going to be paying on it for the next 10 years of your life. 10, do you know how long? 10 years. Ah! Shut up! So I kid you not, my wife says, so what are we going to do? You know what I did? I just turned and I started walking out of the store. And she's like, I'm talking to you. And I walk out of the store. And you know what? I was rude. All right. She let me know, that's rude. You don't do that when I'm talking to you. All right. And so, but the reason why I walked out is because I knew if I went ahead and started talking about, well, what are we going to do? Well, we could do this. And we start reasoning and we start, well, this, you know, we're going to need this app. You know, we can pay it. We can do. I got freedom for the future. Anyway. All right. I knew I was going to end up buying that refrigerator. So I walked out. 8 hours has gone by. So we're outside. So what are we going to do? I don't know, woman. No. So so what are we going to do? And I just said, we're going to go home. It's getting late. Kids haven't had dinner. They've been riding the car for like 4 or 5 hours now. And they're gonna pull their hair out as well as ours, and so let's go home. So we're on the way home, and she pulls up one more time, Craigslist, and she found a refrigerator. You know, the, what do they call it? They call it, you know, the ones that have their side-by-side, thank you, side-by-side refrigerator, all right? So it was a good size, stainless steel finish, and it was owned by an old man. Old people know how to take care of their stuff. This is no apartment complex. And so we're looking for his contact. And you got to email him. So we're like, you know, he just posted it like 2 hours before that. Do you still have the fridge? And he's like, and if you do, can we have your phone number so we can contact you? So he emails right back. And so I get on the phone right away just before about to pull into my apartment complex. And I'm like, sir, do you still have the fridge? I ask him a couple questions. I was like, can I come pick it up? He's like, don't you want to see it first? I'm like, no, that's what I mean. I'm going to come look at it, and if I like it, then I'll buy it. So it was only 30 minutes away, $270. Dropped cash on it. Bam! I got a fresh refrigerator. I waited for it! I'm here to tell you today, you just got to wait for it. Now, here's the point of the story. While this was all going on, I'm battling these thoughts. What are you going to do? Starve? God, I'm a tither. What do you want me to do? Get another job so I can buy myself a fridge? This is ridiculous. I'm getting all bent out of shape. It's just a riff. So brother comes out from the field. That bean stew. That's looking good. I'm going to die if I don't have it. He turned into Gollum right there. All right? And things got worse than what they... See, it's never as bad as it seems. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm trying to hurry so we get out of here on time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I love it. Because it's never as bad as what it seems, so wait for it. Because God's blessing is right around the corner. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Your ability is not wrapped up in you. It's wrapped up in God. All right? And it says we are hard-pressed. Now, that's a legitimate need. That's a legitimate difficulty. That's a real trial. We are hard-pressed. But watch what it says. But yet not crushed. It's not as bad as it seems. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We've been persecuted, but not forsaken. We've had haters come our way. We've had people walk out on us. But you know, we're not forsaken by God. It don't matter if they hate, because God loves. It don't matter if they walk out, because God just gets a little bit closer and just proves his faithfulness all over again. It's not as bad as it seems. And then it says, we are persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And I don't know about you, but that says to me that as many times as I may be struck down, if I'm not destroyed, I can get back up again. The righteous man falls, but he gets back up again, because the excellence of the power is of God and not of them. It's not as bad as it looks. It's not as bad as it seems. Come on, wait for it. Wait for it. And finally, number three is this, that God's blessing will always be worth the wait. God's blessing will always be worth the wait. Never get outside of God's will and find something better for your life than what God has for you. I think this young generation needs to hear things like that. That, you know, you'll never get outside of God's will for your life, for the Christian life, for your marriage, for your children, for your job, and find something better. The wait will always be worth it, and God's blessing will always be better. Always. In the same chapter there, let's go to verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Here's the reality. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. For our light affliction, let's call it what it is, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When it's all said and done, if you could just get a picture, if you could just get a revelation of what it is to stand at the finish line and look back, you will say to yourself, praise God Almighty that I waited for it. Praise God Almighty that I was patient, and I let patience have its perfect work. I let it run its full course in my life, because it was worth it all. It was worth it all. If you got something good from God's word. I'm wiping off this pulpit because there's spit all over it. Hey, let me do this before we close tonight. I want to make sure that everybody here, that you know what, at the end of your life, whether that be sooner or later, all right, let's just be honest. Can we be honest in the house? As young as we are, as much energy as we have, and as much of a future as we have in front of us, life is fragile. Life can be over in just a second. Just and before the night is over, heart stop, getting our car accident. Gosh, I learned recently there's been like 28 murders in the Inland Empire in the last 40 days, something like that. More deaths, all right, in this area than that have taken place.